Judge Chris Nicholson, a retired High Court judge and author of a book called Who Really Killed Chris Hani? And that's going to be the discussion this afternoon. Judge Nicholson, thank you for chatting to me on Chai FM.
Thank you for having me on your program.
So it's funny how certain moments in one's life, just certain things that happen just stand out. And undoubtedly, Chris Hani's assassination in 1993 is one of those such events. Having said that, you have been a distinguished judge. What drew you to revisit this Chris Hani assassination issue? Why did you write the book?
I was a human rights lawyer, and my first book was Permanent Removal, which investigated the killing of the Craddock Four. That was published in 2004. After I retired, I was looking around for something to write about, and I live close to Chris Hani Road in Durban, so I thought to myself, isn't it time somebody got the real truth about who were the masterminds in the killing of Chris Hani? So that's the real reason that I started researching it and wrote the book.
That's fascinating just right there. Why did you think there was a secondary story? I mean, didn't the guys who did it, weren't they put away? Haven't they done their time? Did new information come to light?
Well, if you remember, they applied for amnesty, you know, to the TRC. They were refused amnesty, and one of the witnesses at the amnesty hearing was Christelle Tablanche, and she had obtained a file from intelligence sources, and in the file were 12 documents which mentioned a mysterious organization called the South African Institute of Maritime Research. Now, those documents didn't refer to Chris Hani's death at all, but to the deaths of Dag Hammarskjöld in the early 60s and Patrice Lumumba, the first prime minister of the Congo. But they had this organization, the South African Institute of Maritime Research, seems to have been a front for British intelligence. So I wondered if all the deaths from those 60s to Chris Hani might have been manipulated by outside organizations. The reason, of course, being that Chris Hani was a communist and a man who believed fervently in the Freedom Charter, which called for a redistribution of the wealth and the riches of South Africa.
So there are those with vested interest who would have had a really good reason to have wanted him to not be alive.
I thought so. And I eventually found a cache of documents at the South African History Association, and these seem to indicate one of the documents that Janusz Wolosz was actually a member of this mysterious organization. So he might have been carrying out his duties on orders from this front organization. That was what really stirred my imagination and my interest. There were also other links, various Afrikaner intelligence officers, when they retired or rode into the sunset, they wrote books about their experiences. And one such man, a man, Schulte, he wrote a very interesting book, which he called High Treason. And in it, he spends quite a lot of time on the Chris Hani murder. And he shows various messages that were passed between members of the intelligence organization. And they seem to indicate that a faction in the ANC was anxious to get rid of Hani, and they arranged that his security guards would be off duty that Easter weekend. That's the 10th of April, 1993.
Wow, that's so fascinating. And I'm thinking, you know, this happened against a very particular political dynamics at the time. This country was on a knife edge. I'm sure there were those who felt it would be in everybody's best interest to just sweep these issues under the carpet and get on with the business of creating a rainbow nation.
Absolutely. And, if one looks at South Africa today, it's got the greatest resources of any country in the world, mineral resources. It's way ahead even of Russia. And yet we have the worst Gini coefficient. That's the measure between rich and poor. So I think had Chris Hani survived, he was hell-bent on changing that, on trying to achieve a redistribution of the wealth so that, the poor unfortunates would have a slice of the cake in South Africa. I mean, we live in a country where I was reading the other day, 63% of people in the country go to bed hungry, which is a really a disgrace in a country that is as wealthy as South Africa is.
What a fascinating issue you are raising this afternoon. It's probably something I should put to our listeners to discuss, but I hear exactly what you're saying. I go along with everything you're saying. I just wonder, we could have turned out like Zimbabwe or Venezuela. I suppose it depends how it was done. If he had lived, how would you have foreseen, what would South Africa look like today? How would if he had done it differently and ensured that we wouldn't have turned into a Venezuela or a Zimbabwe?
No, it's an excellent question, and I was once asked at a book launch whether I thought Chris Hani might have become corrupt like so many other ANC leaders.
Ah,
And of
also
course,
interesting. Yeah.
and the point you make is of course a very important one, because it's not easy to just redistribute the wealth of a country. But this is not really my field, but I've got a sense that as a country we tend to export resources and we don't beneficiate them, creating jobs in the country, trying to the unemployment rate is astonishingly high. And I think basically, as far as our various resources, take diamonds, for example. They mostly cut in India, and of course, I think your listeners will know a lot of them are cut in Israel and in the Netherlands, and in New York. But if one's out to make a profit, one has these diamonds and stuff cut out, at a cheaper rate. But if you're trying to benefit a country, I think you would beneficiate. In other words, you'd have them cut within South Africa
Processing,
and create jobs for as many people as possible. So, and I also think that one would have to have increased and progressive income tax, because the one way to redistribute is to tax the rich a little bit more than they are taxed at the moment. So those are some of the ideas that I, from my reading of what Chris Hani would have done, he would have tried to implement, without the catastrophic, consequences you mentioned about, Venezuela and Zimbabwe.
And Zimbabwe. Dr. Nicholson, I think you're going to have created some wonderful discussion points for me for the rest of the afternoon. I thank you so much for your input. Just a final question to you. Where can we buy your book?
Well, any decent bookstore, I hope, at exclusives and bargain books. And there's also an ebook online where it's going for a ridiculously cheap price. So,
So there you go, Dr. Nicholson. And as I said, thank you for your time with us on High FM this afternoon. I think there's certainly some interesting conversations to be had.